It's Anime Pacific, episode 74.
Very exciting, and back just one week later, as promised. This week on the show, Dane is going to review Arena, which I take it to be an old VHS movie.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Yes, buried behind your porn collection, I'm sure. Blew off the dust and decided to give it another look. Is that how it is?
Something like that, yes. Right.
Well, before we get to your review, I just want to correct something I said in last week's show. Last week I said that the gore books were out of print, but I've been digging around, and it looks like they're not quite out of print. They've been re-released, but in almost like a bodice ripper style like series. Here, take a look at Amazon, this link at Amazon.com. You can see...
Okay.
Like, I guess they were released in 2007, but look at the covers. They are, it's almost like a, it's like picking up, like, I couldn't buy something like that. It's like a porn book or something.
I'm just trying to open this link here. I'm sure I'll be suitably shocked and appalled.
Well, it's a picture of a naked woman and her hands are bound. Like, sort of, with sort of old-fashioned handcuffs. Front of her,
I like
so
it already.
You can't see. That's right. Me too, but I don't think I'd be too embarrassed to buy it. But and they're charging like $20, which is crazy.
Well,
you know, at the used bookstore, I'm buying them for like $3 a piece, and the covers are, you know, they're done in sort of pulpy style like you'd find in a Conan book, you know, with the girl in the chainkini or whatever. But, you know, picking that up, you just feel like, well, you're buying like a pulpy, kind of fun fantasy book. You buy this, you feel like a complete perv. Just with the cover, you know. It's embarrassing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I couldn't put that on my bookshelf. You know, I could have a couple of the old style, 1960s style books just laying around and think, oh, it's a... You know, it's a goofy, you know, Conan style, Edgar Rice Burroughs style, pulpy book. When you put that on there, they think you're like, you know, you got bodies buried in your basement. So, yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. Well, I guess I know what they're thinking. They're
Alex's
to,
bodies are buried in his backyard.
There's a whole,
so
I guess they're trying to attract the BDSM community, I suppose.
And who I'm sure just love fantasy books.
No, but you know, like when I first heard about this series, it was because they arrested a huge cult in Britain. It was like they were arrested for like living out these books as if they were like real. They had this as if they were religious, so they had a whole bunch of women as like their slaves, and they had like the gore master. They were living this whole thing out in real life.
Were these women there against their will?
No. So I don't know what they were arrested for. It's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
But yeah, but
you know, if that was true, like there'd be like, you know, Klingons and Cardassians in jail.
That's a good point.
You know,
I don't know
Star
what
Trek
they were
fans.
Arrested for. But the I was looking more into that Second Life world. It's a lot bigger than I thought. I mean, you've got apparently. Not apparently, there are like tons of like shops. I guess how Second Life makes their money is that they sell stuff to you.
Yep.
And I suppose the company gets a cut of whatever the merchants are selling, because there's tons of websites and merchants out there selling like gore related stuff for the Second Life server. They got clothing and various doodads, chains, and mostly clothing, actually, especially female clothing for some reason, you know, a lot of female clothing or lack thereof anyway. And
I wonder why.
There's lots of website resources for gore on there. It's, and you do a search for Kajira, which is like the Gorian word for slave, and you can find like videos on Second Life that were done in the Second Life universe, where it's a story of this woman who gets transported to Gore and she becomes a slave, and they've acted it all out. You've got blog postings of women who go into Gore and just to see what it's like, you know, what their impressions are. It's a lot bigger than you would think. It's just an obscure series. There's a whole community in there, and I'm sure it's, you know, it's a lot of these bondage discipline people who are all into it. Like if you're, I guess, I don't know a lot about it. Maybe you're the expert here. But I guess if you're like a submissive whatever in that community, you'd be all over this. You'd want to be the role play, the slave role, I suppose. So I don't know. I think that's part of it. But for me, like, I was just sort of attracted to the kind of the almost like a harder edge Conan plus the Barsoom, Edgar Rice Burroughs aspect to this whole thing. But I don't know. And I'm becoming a bit perverted. But I'm gonna press on and read the rest of it. Just because it's it feels like almost dangerous or whatever reading this, you know, because it's so controversial. But I don't know. People should take a look. Apparently, the best book of the series is like the fourth book, Nomads of Gore. So I'm still working on the first book, but I don't know. People check it out, I guess. Maybe you can include a link.
Yeah, that you can download just the text file, can't you?
Yeah, I found the text files. This is like, where did I find it? On a Mini Nova or something a long time ago. But all right. Maybe we should never mind my jabbering and press on to your review.
Absolutely.
Hey gang, check out what other people have had to say about the Alpha Paddle podcast.
But anyway, it's all subjective, and
no,
it's pointless to argue about this. And then Kent from Upper Paddle will say, "Well, excuse me, but I think bobbity bobbity baba," and then it'll go on forever.
Wait, that wasn't really that good. What else have people been saying about me? Kent is a prick.
Yeah, if you could like lock Kent in the bathroom. Then it'd be fun.
Kent from Up a Paddle. Wow, I've been going for 3 years and that's the best I can do. But if you're morbidly curious or just can't get enough of anime, video game, or movie podcasts, check me out at upapaddle.com. That's UPAPADDLE.com. Or search for Up a Paddle in the iTunes directory. The Up a Paddle Podcast. Not really that good of a podcast.
Okay, so today we are going to be reviewing the 1989 sci-fi War and Peace-esque epic classic Arena.
Yes. Now, this is our second attempt at reviewing this. We the first attempt was completely incoherent. James.
Excuse
rambling.
Me. Yes, but someone said, "Hey, I've got an idea. Let's record today, eh?" And then I had no chance to actually watch the film.
Now that we've that's a key point. You got to watch whatever you're reviewing, you know. You can't just like sort of vaguely, "Oh, I watched this movie 5 years ago." Let's review it. You got to, you know, does Roger Ebert review movies from that he watched 5 years ago? No, it's all fresh, man. You got to be professional.
He does the best of, and then he re-reviews them. So,
well,
that's what I'm doing here.
You know what the real problem is here? You're straining to find stuff to review because you've spread yourself so thin by prostituting yourself to other podcasts. You got to stay loyal to your own show, man, and produce those reviews for your own show. Screw the other shows.
I think I, as you said, hoard myself out maybe four other times or five other times, mostly for the Anime 82 podcast, so do listen to those later.
I don't know. Every day you get another email from Regan there begging to do another review for the show, so
that's fine. I enjoyed it. It kept my podcasting skills
Yeah, but meanwhile, Anime Pacific and Annie Pack, whatever we're calling it now, went without an episode for like weeks on end. Meanwhile, you're sprueing out content for other shows. You could have released a solo show as a review. Like, what's the story there, man?
This review will make up for everything. Don't worry.
Yes. All right. Well, this is our second, maybe third kick at the can of this, depending on how you count.
There are benefits to this because, as I mentioned, I did review this before, but Alex had not seen it. Alex has since got the torrent that I uploaded, which I will link to in the show notes. I uploaded it Demonoid, and it's doing gangbusters, eh? Lots of people downloading it.
Yeah, so we should probably explain. It's been up at Demonoid for a while now, and I'm sure, yeah, lots of people downloading it. It's pretty speedy. I'm not sure if we should be broadcasting it. Well, all right, it's out.
Fan sub rule applies here, okay? This thing has not been licensed on DVD. It's rotting in, you know, purgatory where it's on VHS but not on DVD. There's no digital way to see this. That's where I come in.
This is Arena, a movie from the late 80s, 89, I believe. It's kind of a B-movie, sci-fi, kind of in the... This is going to sound strange, but almost in like a Star... I think they were trying to be Star Wars-esque, really. No-name cast, kind of goofy dialogue, but like special effects will win the day kind of philosophy.
Pretty much, but at the same time, you'd actually be surprised. A lot of the actors, none of them are 10-time Academy Award winners, but pretty much all of them have gone on to have a decent career, and they're well known in their own circles.
Okay, I'm just trying to get some backstory. Let's stick that for later. Right. So anyway, this is what we're talking about: a sci-fi B movie of the late '80s. And Dane found a VHS copy buried behind his porn collection, and cleaned it up. And uploaded it to Demonoid, where you can find it. I'm sure you'll link to it on the website, and you can download it and watch it yourself, and enjoy, or not enjoy, as the case may be.
Well, before I actually review the film itself, I have to say that the encode I did is my best work.
I got complaints, to be honest. The actual visual quality was good. No problems there, although there was some stuttering. The audio... it was almost incomprehensible at times. Like the audio is just—it's just horrible. I don't know if you were. This is just because of the source, or if it's from your attempts at improving it. But
I didn't actually do anything to improve the audio. I think the video itself was actually mono, and perhaps, you know, when you play mono through speakers.
Makes, you know,
surround
sense.
Sound or something, it doesn't have the clarity, perhaps.
No, that's nonsensical. Because in my system here, I fiddled with the settings. I set the thing to mono. I set it to stereo. I set it to Dolby Digital 2. I fiddled with it. It's horrible. What you really need to do is add subtitles onto that thing, so people can understand what they're saying. You know, because it's but don't let that fact discourage people from watching it. I mean, it's you can understand most of what they're saying. You just gotta strain and really pay attention, because it is a bit frustrating. But
maybe I should try to improve the audio then, because I didn't. It could just be
subtitles, man. Subtitles. It might just be the fact that all the aliens, like, they all have like these sort of, I don't want to say accents, because
they all speak English for the most part.
Yeah, well, they've got this sort of mechanized, is that a word?
Yeah.
Mechanized kind of voice, a bit tinny, just to make it sound like, oh, this is an alien speaking. It's not, you know, you know, a guy from Queens, you know, so in a suit. So they've got this kind of affect going on with their voice, and maybe that's what's causing the trouble. So I think subtitles would really help, because it's very frustrating.
Right. So anyway, the film itself, as we said, there's a few things that make it relevant, and that is that it has several Star Trek actors who went on to play Deep Space Nine specifically, who went to play somewhat similar roles. It's pretty well known that within the Star Trek circle, they do look for people with past experience in sci-fi and prosthetic makeup especially, because not everyone can
All right, I might believe that, but I think you're just pulling that out of your bum. How do you know that?
Well, if you look at the cast of this, I mean, yeah, you've got Armin Shimerman.
I'm just wondering what your source for that is. Is it like an article, an interview that did with like Brendan Braga or something, or have you just pulled that out of your rectum?
Well, the fact that they do look for people with past sci-fi experience is definite. I've read that in interviews. That's a fact. Also, if they haven't been in other sci-fi stuff before, you'll find that most Star Trek actors were minor characters in episodes before, and thus having proved themselves, you know, to be pretty decent in, you know, wearing prosthetics and stuff, then they get more regular roles. I mean, Armin Shimerman, who plays Weasel in this, he was the first Ferengi ever in the history of Star Trek, not as Quark.
Well, that is true. So, but I don't know if it has anything to do with like a magical ability to wear prosthetics. You know, it just might just be that they get to know the actor and they want to give them, and they give them more work. I mean,
it could be that too. But I think you need a certain presence, or you need a certain type of acting to bring the character behind all this rubber and prosthetics that they're wearing. You know, not everyone is going to be good with prosthetics on. They've got to have the special voice, and they've got to have the exaggerated facial expressions and stuff like that.
Well, so that's true. Although the guy who plays, I'm blanking now.
This Rogol.
Like the villain in the, or sort of the quasi villain of the movie. Yeah, he doesn't wear prosthetics.
Just got a gray, a silver tinge kind of skin makeup. Yeah, I know. But he's actually got a hell of a voice.
He went on to play
Gold Garrick.
Oh, Galdakot, that's it. Galdakot in Deep Space Nine. Yeah. It's really funny seeing these guys in this movie. It was really, like, you recognize, it's Quark's voice, you know. He looks like a rat, you know, kind of thing. It's great. And the same thing with Galdakot. Hey, that's Galdakot. And he has the same sort of mannerisms.
Mm.
it's really neat. But we should probably summarize the plot.
Yes. All right. Well, the film takes place in, I think, the 4000 AD or something like that, and it's set on a space station. We don't get to see any sort of planets and stuff. This movie all takes place on this space station, and the space station primarily serves as a venue for these intergalactic arena fights. And I know what you're thinking, that all these aliens, you know, of different shapes and sizes and stuff, well, it can't be much competition for a lowly human, but they've got these little computer things called...
We should back up a bit. So in the space station, there's arena fights, which is it's sort of like boxing or mixed with...
kind of wrestling and boxing.
Yeah, wrestling or martial arts fighting. And it takes place in sort of a... almost like a sumo-style arena in that...
Yeah.
You can knock the enemy down for the count, or you can push him out of the ring... And you have to get up to like
Alex usually likes to push himself into rings.
Quiet. And you get a certain amount of points and you win. And basically, you have the competitors, different races matched against each other. You might have you know, different types of aliens matched against each other. So obviously, different aliens have different abilities. One guy might have like four arms, the other guy might be, you know, 5 feet tall or something, you know. How do you balance these opponents? Well, as Dane was saying, they've got this computer. Why don't you go on and explain it?
Yeah, it's sets the handicap. So it ensures that both the opponents are completely equal in strength. So, you know, if you're this little alien with two arms and two legs, which basically the little aliens in this are the humans, and you're fighting this six-legged dinosaur, then it's going to give you equal strength. So it's all down to your speed and sort of natural ability and stuff like that.
Now, so that's the backstory of what's happening. So the movie starts off with there being no human champion or no great human wrestler in this league or in this arena fighting for like 50 years or something. People think, oh, yeah, humans, they can't fight. They're useless. It's just the big bruiser aliens who are heating up the rankings. Yeah. And in comes a the human hero. He's
Steve Armstrong.
That's right, Steve Armstrong. He's back on Earth. He trained to be a. He dreamed of being an arena fighter. He practiced and. He went through different human leagues back on Earth, and he traveled to this the space station to soak in the atmosphere and try to get into arena wrestling. But unfortunately, things didn't quite work out, and he's ended up working at a cafeteria or a restaurant. And
yeah, it's like a McDonald's in like a space McDonald's.
That's right, and he's not exactly. You know, he's not the big famous talent. He's not a superstar. His dreams haven't worked out, and he ends up getting fired from his job. And he's disillusioned with the whole space station. He's disillusioned with arena wrestling after being there watching it in person, and he wants to go home.
But why he gets fired is rather relevant to the plot. It's because he's defending his best friend Shorty, who is this sort of little four-armed fellow, because he's the guy serving and Steve's the guy cooking, and these two little bratty sort of fishy aliens are giving crap to Shorty, and Steve steps in, and then the alien's father says, "What are you doing?" And then Steve basically beats the living crap out of this alien and throws him through a window, and it turns out that the guy that Steve just beat up was a certain lady called Quinn, who's a manager of arena fighters. That was her best fighter, and she lost her only other fighter, which is this kind of, I don't know, tin can dinosaur that gets beaten up at the start
of
the film.
Right.
Which
that's
got
right.
Utterly useless, this alien. He's like this tin can, and he can like swing his arms in a helicopter motion, but he gets thrown into the audience by Horn, who is
stay on track here. So yeah. Basically, so she's desperate looking for a new talent because she's short on wrestlers, and she finds this guy who just beat up one of her own wrestlers and say, oh, this guy he might be something. He might have the skill to be in the real thing in the arena. So she tries to talk him into joining the league. He resists, determined to go back to Earth, fed up with the whole thing. But as the movie moves along, of course, events conspire. They run in the hero, what's his name again?
Steve Armstrong.
Steve Armstrong and his friend Shorty the cook. They run into some trouble. They get into debt. They have to pay back this $18,000 Krugerrands or whatever the hell it is. Krugers.
That's right. I love the names.
Well, Krugerrand is the South African currency.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like, so I
just love it how you said that, and it just sounded so right. That's all.
It paid back 18,000 Krugerrands to this boss of this arena thing. They got to pay him back the money. So how does he get the money? He's got to go in with this lady manager and fight. So that's basically the setup.
Yeah, he's called Rogor, and that's played by Mark Alamo, who was Gold Ducat.
All right, so that's the broad summary of the plot. Dane, what did you think of the movie?
I think, given that what it is, it is amongst the best of its kind. Not to say it's The Godfather or Shakespeare or something like that, but as B sci-fi movies go, it pretty much succeeds in doing what B movies are supposed to do, and that is give you enjoyment.
Yeah, going into this, like looking at the IMDb rating, which is like 4.2 or something, I had like zero expectations for this. I thought, oh, this is another one of those Dane recommendations, like Sakura or Sakuya, whatever the hell it was called.
You'll never forget that, will you?
That was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and you loved it. I think I've got a new way of rating movies or TV shows. It's the how much do I really pay attention to the movie or TV show? Because I got my computer and my TV in the same room. So if I get bored or distracted, I tend to wander over to my PC and surf the internet while the movie's playing in the background or the TV show is playing in the background. If it absorbs me and I find out that I can't concentrate the two things at once, I turn off the television or turn off the computer. I go sit down on the couch and I concentrate on watching it. I don't do that very often, just for a few shows like now True Blood or Lost. I focus 110% on the show. Now, for this movie, I couldn't believe it, but a few minutes in, I found myself, okay, I got to get away from the computer, and I got to go sit down on the couch. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the movie was not horrible.
Wow. Gasp.
Yeah, well, that's... For this kind of thing, that's about as high praise as I think I'm going to be able to give it. I mean, for the first half, I was definitely sitting on the sofa watching absorbed, right up to the part where he begins sort of the very cliched Rocky-esque series of fights that eventually leads into his championship, you know, which is very inevitable and you know it's going to happen and frankly sort of boring. But everything up to that, where, you know, the bar scene, the restaurant, the initial fights, the costumes, the aliens, it was all interesting and not bad. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I also agree that the first half is good because we get to see all the little hovels and bars and casinos and the shanty towns, and we get to see the kind of the world they created here, which is full of well-made aliens.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, for a movie that must have had no budget, or they must have, I mean, it couldn't have been like blockbuster level, you know, movie we're talking about here. I mean, it didn't look bad, you know, the special effects. Well, I mean, the spaceship, you know, the exterior shots of the spaceship, you know, they weren't exactly top-notch.
No, but they were, I mean, succinct as to what you could probably expect in the 80s.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were probably 15 years out of date by the time, I mean,
yes.
Like Star Trek, the movie Star Trek 1 there looked better, you know, and that was like in 79. So, but you know, you can't, but, you know, okay, putting aside that, they must have put all their budget into, like, plastic, costumes or, you know, like suits for the actors to stomp around in, because what a wide variety of aliens.
And I think the first fight, Steve fights this monster called Sloth, is actually a very cool creation, very cartoony, very cool, who is this giant, huge lizard. You must have needed like a dozen people to operate. That's like this giant lizardy grasshopper. It was very well made, and of course, this being a B movie, you know, he kind of speaks like a lumberjack or something, like, "Come here, you can do better than that."
That's a very good impression, actually.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny to hear him, you know, rant on perfect English, and it's this giant grasshopper alien. And I won't go off on a tangent on this, but it does bear mentioning that all the creatures, this is the anime connection, were created by a guy called Screaming Mad George, or Furious Mad George, I'll write that in the show notes, and Steve Wong. These guys are responsible for Steve Wong actually directed the Guyver live-action film, and it's much better, sequel, Guyver Dark Hero, which also featured some pretty cool monsters, which, given the budget of the Guyver, which wasn't much, these monsters looked a lot cooler than you would expect. So these guys certainly, I think they have a passion for creature stuff. Furious Mad George is actually Japanese, and he's got a background in that sort of stuff.
Well, okay, but I got to reiterate again, we're praising these creatures to high heaven here, but I think people got to realize it is 1989, and essentially these guys are just, you know, it's just, they just took an actor in a suit and he's jumping around. Okay, so, I mean, it's you can't expect, like, Jurassic Park or anything, okay?
No, no, this is all done by puppets, and I think that's one of the things that I loved about Farscape so much was that the aliens were puppets, and, you know, there were quadrupedal aliens and sort of two-headed aliens and all sorts of interesting aliens, which you don't normally see in Star Trek or Andromeda or something like that. It's more what you would see in Star Wars. So this gave us aliens that we don't get to see much, and that alone is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think the makers, the people who created this, had Star Wars on their mind the whole way through.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, like, now we look back at Star Wars, oh, it's this, you know, what a great movie, of 4 or 5 stars, it's brilliant. But if you really look at it, I mean, you got, at the time, there were no-name actors, really cheesy, horrible dialogue, you know. I mean, you look, and probably people are going to listen to this, oh, it's sacrilege, but, you know, go back. Watch Star Wars without the first, you know, A New Hope, without... Take out of your mind the fact that it's a blockbuster. Really listen to the dialogue. You know, look, what is it? You know, Princess Leia talking to Vader when Vader invades the ship, you know, at the beginning of the movie. Lord Vader, only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this. You know, it's such stilted, you know, Arena has the same no-name actors, the same stilted, frankly, cheesy dialogue. And they, like Star Wars, they must have thrown all their budget into special effects. But in the end, you know, Star Wars was Star Wars, and the special effects were phenomenal for the time. Nobody had seen anything like it. And this movie, well, it was trying to be Star Wars, and, you know, it was like one long cantina scene in that they had all these, you know, aliens wandering around, and people had seen that before, 10 years ago. So maybe that's why it didn't work out. Maybe it was the fact that the plot, frankly, sort of becomes very cliche halfway through, 45 minutes in, you know. A number of reasons why, you know, maybe it didn't take off. But, you know, the makers definitely thought, okay, no-name actors, cheesy dialogue. I wonder if they thought they had cheesy dog when they're making it. But anyways, you know, but we're throwing all our money into special effects. It'll succeed. That's what I got to think that they were thinking.
I do have to say, though, pretty much every actor here has gone on to do pretty good stuff, a pretty large body of work. And a lot of them have subsequently done sort of sci-fi stuff, like, for example, you know, obviously the Deep Space Nine connection, but the foxy chick called Jade, who's played by Shadi Shattuck. Every time I hear that
world
name, I think of a Hindi domestic dispute. Like, I don't you to get the coffee, Shadi Shattuck. Actually, she married the actor who plays Ridge in The Bold and the Beautiful. And once, when I was suspended from school, I actually asked Mum. I actually started watching Bold and the Beautiful, and then I asked Mum to start taping it for me. How gay am I? But
very gay.
That sort of faded away. But Shadi Shattuck was in Babylon 5, and did, you know, a lot of these actors went on to do quite a bit of sci-fi stuff. She's actually a best-selling author now. So
just get
that out there. She's not acting anymore. But it's actually surprisingly well acted, a lot of it. I mean, Armin Shimerman's great.
Yeah, I mean,
great,
for what it
Weasel.
Is, I mean, it's, you gotta act, dialogue is somewhat painful and cheesy, but, you know, they do manage to pull it off in a way. And again, you get sucked in to this space station they create. I mean, even when, at the bar scene, or when Shorty brings the hero, what's his name again? Armstrong, down to his apartment, you know, through the bowels of the ship. It reminded me a bit of that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, the Mars
Total
one.
Recall.
Total Recall. When
yeah,
they,
that's right. Yeah.
When they go into the sort of the hidden section of the of Mars there, where you got the sort of slum. It's sort of the same thing where they go into this hidden section of the space station. Yeah, it was you know, I couldn't believe it. It was good. I was sitting on my sofa, you know, watching. And then, but then again, as the sort of inevitable occurred, and you get sort of sucked into the, you know, you had the montage of the fights and the training. You know, I sort of got wandered over by my computer and started surfing the internet. But for that first 45 minutes, you know, not horrible, pretty good.
I think the highlight, without spoiling anything, of the last 45 minutes is that punching bag alien. There's basically this big alien that is just this lumbering kind of oafy, looks like a whale with legs, and he's just basically the punching bag.
Yeah, it was funny. Actually, remember, yeah. It reminds me of that, ever see that Jim Hansen show, Dinosaurs?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's like an extra from Dinosaurs.
That's right.
But it's funny because, like I said, they give all these English, all the aliens speak English. So he's, you know, oh, you know, thanks for sparring with me. See you next time. Yeah, okay, kid. You know, it was just cute, for lack of a better word. It was cute. But so anyway, in conclusion, I suppose one more thing I should mention is that this was filmed in Italy. And when I with that in mind, watching this film, obviously, okay, Italy, arenas, you know, you make that connection.
Right.
But a lot of, or some areas, like the corridor and stuff, the design is almost kind of Roman. And I know that, you know, Caligula, which was made more than a decade prior to this, had one of the biggest budgets in the world. I mean, the movie was a disaster for several reasons, but what happened after Caligula was made was that they just had these amazing sets.
Yeah, but
that they,
Dane,
poured millions,
you can't
into.
Be comparing that to this.
No, no.
The sets in this were horrible.
After Caligula was made, they kept a lot of these sets. They kept the whole set, basically, and they filmed lots of Italian pornos in it.
Yeah.
But lots of sets from Caligula have been known to, even to this day, appear in Italian films. So it just makes you think. Anyway,
what
so in conclusion...
What does that have to do with arena?
I don't know. I just have a sinking suspicion that some Caligula things might have made their way into the film.
You think so? Maybe. But I gotta say, like, if they did, they would have been an improvement, because the actual sets were... Like, the monsters were fine, but the sets were
extremely... It was pretty sparse.
Very bare bones.
Lots of improvisation.
Well, you know, like in the rich woman's quarters there, the love interest.
That's just the 80s aesthetic at work there.
It was not. They were trying to make it look like as if she had all these fancy paintings and Roman columns on the, like, all around her room. But in fact, it was... You know, it was just they got this.
It was
almost
the canteen
like,
on set
was,
or something.
Yeah, it was like Bristol board along that they put along the side of the wall and just painted on. They put a painting of a recess in the wall and, like, you know, a painting of a column. You know, it's like a bad. It made the Star Trek sets from the 60s look, you know,
like
five stars. Yeah, that's right. You know.
Okay. Yeah. That's the other thing. Very 80s aesthetic. They've got lots of bars and discos in this that look straight out of Miami Vice or something,
well,
which adds to the charm, I suppose.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that part of it. But I think the rest of it's just lack of budget, really. But you know, what can you do? It's a movie, you know.
Yeah, well, you see where the budget went. So, okay, well, in conclusion, for me, a very enjoyable film. I have nostalgia on my side, which increases my enjoyment. But I do agree in what Alex says that... the last half of the movie isn't as good as the first, but overall, I still think this is a very enjoyable movie for what it is.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that. Not horrible, watchable, especially the first half. You can, you know, get a good laugh, look at the sets, interesting story, and then it gets monotonous. But worth a look, worth a download. It's free. Go to Demonoid, take a look.
Here at the Fight Bait Anime Podcast, we strive to bring you a different type of anime review.
The only other shows I've seen where girls pilot robots, they're naked when they do it.
Making sure to touch on the high points of the shows we cover.
The Chain Patriot backdropped a snake.
And also the low points.
Incognito is probably one of the worst anime character designs I've ever seen in my entire life.
We also have game coverage.
If you haven't played Super Mario World, get the off of my podcast.
Poor geographical knowledge.
Dude, Hong Kong is like the capital of Japan, isn't it?
And the infamous Whiskey Thursday.
The moral of the story here is, when you have a problem, you only need to find the right drink.
So come check out the Fight Bait Anime Podcast at www.fightbait.com. You can also find it in the iTunes Music Store. Fight Bait Anime.
It's like the pie. You know, I don't know how it's like the pie. I was trying to do a metaphor there, and I failed.
Because what the world needed was another anime podcast.
Before we wrap up here, I just want to do some site news. If you haven't noticed already, Dane has, at least I assume it's Dane, has completely redesigned the Anime Pacific website, and it looks sensational now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I
think at the end you got very exciting. that's great.
Yeah, Blogger is a lot easier to sort of edit stuff with than the Blogsum website was, that's for sure. So I was able to do this relatively speedy and add a few cool things. You will notice, and as I haven't posted episode 74 yet, Alex, you wouldn't have noticed this yourself, but all new comments will be done with Discuss, D-I-S-Q-U-S, which is kind of a new comments system, and it's a lot more sort of interactive and intuitive than just the old blog.
So
blog spot comments.
I'm looking at episode 73, and I see it just says comments. Well, I guess it's supposed to say two comments, but for some reason the two is obscured.
Yeah, I'll have to fix that. But
that's gonna be gone now.
Yeah, all future comments will be done through Discuss, and that's why at the top of the website you can see recent popular people. So you can see, you know, the top commenters, recent comments, popular. And each week by week, the comment system will be using the... Each subsequent comment system will be using Discuss. So it's kind of like Intense Debate, which Jake the Root Beer King has at his RPG Lama website. But I tried to install Intense Debate, and there were a lot of problems with it, so I just went with Discuss, which is pretty much the same thing, more or less.
All right, well, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But also, I want to mention that looking at the episode 73 post, I forgot to say this before, but you got these videos of gore, and they're quite salacious, I got to say.
Yeah, well, the second one is scary because...
yeah.
You know...
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, It's just obviously a husband and wife, and...
The woman is a bit chubby, actually.
Well, they're not spring chickens. I think, you know, they're both 40-somethings or 50-somethings, I don't know. But,
Yeah, but, like, you're supposed to, like... But the video is of...
Well, it's just basically the wife showing the different gory and slave positions. And
they got, like, names for each position and everything. And this sort of semi-middle-aged, you know... slightly
usage
chick
position
is modeling the different positions, and yeah, it is a bit disturbing. Like, and the funny thing is, like, okay, as I said before, we sort of recorded, we taped this episode in sort of two parts because we had to redo the review part because we just so
yes.
bad. So in between the recording sessions, I've read more of that book. Of the first book, it's pretty short actually, so I'm going through it pretty quickly, but it just from this first book, I don't get how all these people are obsessed this slave stuff, and they're all like really into it. I mean, like in the book, it's there, but it's just sort of in the background. It's like getting obsessed with what's a good analogy. I should have thought of this before recording the show.
It's like watching Gundam and getting obsessed with the uniforms or something.
Yeah, we're right. Or like the mecha or something. Yeah, that's
well, the
mecha
are the focus of the show, so that's why I said uniforms.
Uniforms, right. That's a good point. But yeah, that's a very good point. But it's maybe in future books, and I'm just sort of browsing through the titles, like there's a book called Slave of Gore or something. So maybe it gets sort of heavier into it. But it's the first book that I read. It's sort of in the background, and the hero, again, as I explained before, is a bit like the Edgar Rice Burroughs hero, and that he comes from Earth, and he brings sort of Earth values, quote unquote, to this new alien world. So this whole, he's in this first book anyway. He's like kind of shocked at the slavery, and he's sort of, he has sort of moral sort of pangs about sort of what's going on, and there's sort of a dilemma that he has, and and they mention, of course, like different, the author will say, oh, the slave, she bowed to his master in such position. But these people have taken it to like a really sort of crazy level.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you're I don't know, what's the BDSM sort of type? Maybe this is the one sort of semi-legit series
legit.
For you, I suppose.
Pretty much, yeah, if you're into S&M, I guess.
All right, so that wraps up another exciting episode of Anime Pacific. Yes, please note that it was just about half an hour this time, so no more two-hour marathons. We're trying to have a life here. But you're going to get an episode every week. That we're definitely trying.
Yeah. So, and just while we're here, I just looked at the forums in Internet Movie Database, and there was one pretty good post about Arena, and someone said, I've seen plenty of bad movies given the bare-bones, boring, packaged DVD treatment. This movie deserves the same.
Really?
And then the subject post, the thread title is To the Clowns in Hollywood. And then someone replied, if they release the Willies on DVD, then they could release this, damn it. I love this movie in all its campy glory. It has some of the worst names for aliens I've ever heard. Spinner, Skull, Stitches, Shorty, and the protagonist's name is Steve. Seems like they had a morbid fascination with the letter S. So, there we go. So people certainly enjoy this. Apparently it's on Encore Action sometimes. But, this
Encore
was...
Encore Action. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Okay, so if you've got any comments about the show or about anything we've talked about, please email us, animepacific@gmail.com. And check out our blog, which we'll try to keep posting at annipack.blogsum.com.
Blogsum.
It's all very tongue-twisting.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and next week I will be reviewing the classic anime OVA, classic, quote-unquote, Junk Boy. And I will also be posting a link for that for you to download.
All right, and I'm going to be talking about some of the stuff I've been attempting to watch. I've been trying to get back into the anime spirit this summer, and I've been watching a few different series, and I'll give you my initial impressions of them.
Okay,
that's
exciting.
Next week. Yes.
And do give us an email. We had a mail segment of the show, which we did pretty much every week. And
yeah,
like
it's disappeared. I want to know whatever happened to... Remember that chick who used to email us and hectored us in every email? Whatever happened to her?
I don't know.
Maybe our ramp... What was her name? I forget.
Watcher Angel.
God, you got a good memory. That's right. Watcher Angel. I want to know whatever happened to her. We must have gotten turned off by our misogyny.
I don't know.
That was our one female listener. Actually, I'll be wondering if we do have any female listeners. If you are a female listener, just email us, because I'm wondering if we scare them all off. Actually, and if you do, tell me if you like that gore series. Woo woo.
Yeah. Okay. So that ends that, and we actually do have a few emails that we got during the huge absence between proper episodes. So I'll read some of those next week. In fact, I think I promised someone I would, and he sent it months ago. But it was from a new listener, and I'll read that next week. So, until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
I always thought my war was eternal, and still my only friend I spent all my life fighting alone on my own, until a fountain of lore and a new man was born. We shall be free, rich in immortality. We shall walk free through the trees of the forest of life. We shall walk free through the trees of the forest of life. So sunlight shines for the heroes. Now weary of war, the gods of a past of endless fighting means nothing anymore. Now I live in town alone, and a new life is born. We shall be free, rich in immortality. Through the trees of the forest of life, we shall walk free through the trees of the forest of life.